Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. It is with recording Islamic Studies class, May 6th, right? Okay. Doing business with Allah. Okay. Doing business with Allah means you trade with Allah things. And for example, you loan your money to someone else. Okay, this is doing business with Allah. Going for Hajj is doing business with Allah. Making prayers is doing business with Allah. All of these things are praying. Thank you. Can I get these two, the whole thing? Now, let's focus. We can do this after the class.
Hey, guys.
after the class, we can eat this.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Allah gave you the things that you're using to trade with. You're trading with Allah. You're doing business with Him. So Allah gave you the whatever you were going to do to use for trading with Him. He gave it to you. Just like, let's say, Yumna. I gave her $1 million and then I asked her door back 100,000. Then, am I not kind? No, Yumna, should it appreciate that? Do you understand? So I give her $1 million. I ask her for $100,000 loan or $100,000 back. Okay, so how does this sound like a business deal? It's very good for Lina, for Yumna. It's not good. It's not fair for me. Got it? This is how Allah does business. Exactly. He gives you $1 trillion and then asks you for 100,000, something like that. Okay, let's see how much is your worth. If you replace your eyes, how many million dollars to have? You know the... Planting. What is it? Yeah. To replace your heart, or like organ planting.
Transplant.
Yes, transplant. That's right. You have if you want to do transplant for your eyes, then you have to pay what? $500,000 for every eye. Okay. How about the kidneys? $500,000 for every kidney. How about your stomach? $100,000 or $500,000 for your stomach. Okay. What I'm trying to do, you're worth as a body, as a human body, you're worth like $10 million. If we cut you in pieces and we sell you by piece, then you're worth $10 million. Okay. So who gave you those $10 billion? Allah. Who gave you the money? Allah. Who gave you the health? Allah. Who gave you existence? Allah. Who gave you life? Allah. So look how much. Who makes the earth floor for you? Allah. Who makes the ceiling, the sky ceiling for you? Allah. You know how the skies are ceiling? Because it filters away radiation images and ozone. Okay? It's being filtered away. So the skies is a safe roof. The ground is a safe floor. It doesn't keep shaking on us all the time. You got it? So, who gave you the blessings? Allah. He asking you back for some. So, He gave you all, He asking back for some. Okay. So, your prayer, for example, He gave you the ability to pray, and then He's asking you for some. Giving you the ability to move, and think, and recite, and then He is asking you back for something. Okay. When He gives you $1 million, He's asking how much for zakah? When He gives you, let's say, $100, $1,000, He's asking how much is zakat?
2.5%.
Yeah, 25. He's giving you 1,000. He's asking for 25 back. You see? Here's the test. That's the test. He gives you a lot, and He asks you to give back to Him. Okay? So, He... So, now, doing business with Allah... is rewarding. They once asked the good companion, a good follower, righteous follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They asked him, why do people hate death? Why do you hate death? Let's say, do you name?
Aya.
Why do you hate death, Aya?
Because they're scared.
Scared?
Yeah.
Why are you scared?
Huh? Gonna
what if I promise you Jannah? Would you hate death?
No.
No. Yeah, you'd rush for
it. Like, you're hurting your family members. You know how depressed they would be?
Well, but you're going for to Jannah. You know?
I know, but there are family members that know that.
Well,
I'd be really sad if someone in my family.
See, if Allah wants, He will make it happen. But my question, they will happen at the right time. Whether you hurt your families, don't hit your family, your death is written. Okay? But the question is, are you afraid of it or not?
No.
I am afraid of. Why? Because
you shouldn't be afraid of anything other than Allah. Yeah.
Yes, death is, you should be afraid of death.
Okay.
There is, can you be afraid of the snake?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but like...
But you can, you have to, unless you're some... Can you... Aren't you scared from the lion in the jungle?
I'm not afraid of a cockroach. I just think they're gross. Yeah, because they were coming near me, and I think they're gross.
Girls. You get the point here? You get the point? Is that... What was the point?
Why? That we should be scared of death from Allah.
Yes. If somebody tells me there is Jannah... Come, angel of death, please. But my problem... Exactly. That's why we don't like... Yes. But if you're doing a good deed, then you will love to meet Allah. Okay. The believers, the Prophet Muhammad said, once to Aisha radiallahu anha. Once he said to Aisha radiallahu anha. Okay. He once said what? He once said... The good people are looking forward for death, and the bad people are scared of death. Okay? So the Aisha said, we all scared of death. He says, yes, but the good people, okay, are not going to be scared of death. Hassan al-Basri, which is the follower, he used to say, you guys are afraid of death because of what? Because you have built for yourself in this life, you have built yourself a nice house, a nice car, a nice job, okay, nice kids. You have built, you have invested so much building in this house, in your house. But on the other hand, what happens in the hereafter? Did you build your house in the hereafter? No. Did you do sufficient deeds for the hereafter? No. So he said, you're scared of death because you did very well. You invested so much in this life and you ignored the life to come. And of course, you hate to go from good life to a bad life, which is the one comes after death. Okay? All right. So what do we mean they invested with Allah and you hate after? Let me give you this example. Let's say United States decided to deport all Muslims. Or let's say, decided to deport Yumna's family, for example. Or decided to deport Nosheen.
Yeah.
Nosheen, right? Nosheen family, okay? To a country that she never visited before, okay? And she didn't have any money with her to spend. And she doesn't have a home. She's just going to be deported without anything. So, would that be something nice or something good?
No.
How would Nosheen live afterwards?
Bad life.
Bad life, right? Hunger, thirst, lack of homes, and you know. What about your money, Nosheen? You left her here in the United States. They don't want to let you take any money with you. Okay. How do you think about that? Is that something good?
Yeah.
It's something terrible to happen. This is exactly what the angel of death do. The angel of death does exactly the same. The angel of death deports you. He deports you from this life. He's deporting. And then what happens to your money? Left behind. How about your kids? Left behind. How about, you know, your home? Left behind. Your car? Left behind. So you're deported with nothing. My sister, may Allah mercy be on her, she used to say, the coffin doesn't have a bucket, doesn't have a money storage, doesn't have a place to store money. Which means that you don't take any money with you. And she told me that, and then within 6 months she died. She died. So she was saying, the coffin doesn't have any buckets. The coffin doesn't have any buckets. You know what I mean? Like you don't take money with you. You're dying so much for money now, you don't take any money with you. Okay, Aya?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So what happens if the angel of death deports you to the day of judgment? Unless you have invested, let's see here. What do you do to invest to the hereafter? So when you're deported, you have a home. Like what? All these things are investment with Allah. You see? So you invested with Allah. When you die, would Allah deny you and says, well, I didn't mean what I said. You're going to hellfire anyway. Well, what do you think of that? Would Allah do this?
No.
Okay. So this is the... If you... Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What did I want to say? What did I say last thing?
If you invest in good deeds.
Exactly. What is the difference between doing business with you and doing business with Allah? One of the differences is, huh?
It's unfair.
Allah biased to your side. So for every dollar, Allah gives you back between 10 to 70. Between $10 to $70. You got it?
Yeah.
Depends on what? How sincere you are and how valuable is the money. Depends on the amount of sacrifice, basically. If you sacrifice so much, Allah rewards you so much. Okay? You got it? Yes. Now, Allah rewards you so much by how much? Between 10 and 700. So you give a dollar. Give a dollar. It's like to giving how much? Between $10 to $70. To $700. 700. See how? Yes. See how Allah is so generous with us? Is what?
Wait, you're talking about reward, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not dollars, right? It's just like Allah can reward us from 10 to 700 times.
Could be dollars.
Oh.
Like wealth coming to you from somewhere. Like somewhere.
But isn't it talking about how much you'll multiply rewards?
Like yes, rewards, and you get $170 or between 10 to $70 to $700 as a bonus. I'll go to explain in a minute. Question is very good, and it's part of the, it's coming, part of what is coming. Okay, so do business with Allah, the reward is guaranteed. Do business with people, the reward is not guaranteed. You do business with Allah, your good deeds are not going to be denied. You do business with people, they can deny you your rights, they can deny you your force, you can deny you, cheat you, but with Allah, it's guaranteed. Its reward is guaranteed and multiplied many, many, many times. Okay. There was a guy. Allah said in the Quran, who's going to give me a loan? Allah saying in the Quran what? Several places. Who is going to give me a loan? And who said also, who's going to give Allah a loan? So, Allah said in the Quran, who's going to give a loan to Allah? What is that loan? So I give you 100,000, I ask for 10,000 back loan. Okay, Allah is asking us for a loan. So when one companion is called Abu Dahda or Abu Darda, anyone, one of those names, he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that. He heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that. Who's going to give me a loan? So the guy went to the Prophet and said, Allah is asking us for a loan? How? He said, yes, he's asking you for a loan to raise your ranks. To raise your ranks. Allah loves you. He wants to raise your rank. So he's asking you for a loan. Right? He wants to raise your rank. He wants to give you an opportunity to raise your rank. So instead of rank 500, you become rank 1000, for example. So he said, I make you my witness that I've...
Isn't, yeah, like if you're 500, wouldn't you go up to like 100? Because the higher your rank, the better.
No, the lower the rank,
what?
The better.
The high rank. Say high ranking. It's like high ranking.
That's how ranking.
So it gives you a higher rank.
It's like number one is the best.
Number one, two.
Wait, but then if you gave a loan and you were 500, how would it go to 1,000?
No, he doesn't even become better. Like his money.
Oh, okay.
What was it? It's just like Jannah is floors, okay? So instead of floor 50, it goes to floor 500. And you keep going until you see the face of Allah day and night. That's the highest ranking of Jannah, is the ranking where you get to see the face of Allah day and night.
Is that a real thing?
Yes. And that's why this place is the top. The top. Jannat al-Firdaus. Yes, may Allah make us all from Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen. But also may Allah help us do the work necessary for Jannat al-Firdaus. Praying alone is not enough. You need to back your prayers with good deeds. Okay? Alright. So what happened to this guy? He heard the Prophet saying, If you do loan me money, I'll pay you back. Multiple times. So he asked the Prophet. The Prophet said, Allah wants to raise your rank, raise your floor number in Jannah. So he said, Ya Prophet Muhammad, I make you my witness that I have a garden. All what I own is this garden. And I am going to give it away for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. Give it away all for the sake of Allah. And it was reported that this guy, this is how he got his fortune. He used to water the garden, water a land. You know, in the old times they didn't have pumps. How did they do water the land? They go, take the bucket, and then take it and pour it into the land. So this was his job. He would take a bucket he would do one trip for one date. One trip, one date is one trip. So if he makes 10 trips, he gets 10 dates. You got it? That was his job. And he accumulated money until he owned the garden. He saved the money. Maybe he eats half and leaves half until he got the garden, got married, and got children. So he went to them and then he said, this garden is an investment with Allah. I'm going to invest it with Allah. I'm going to give it away for Allah. Okay? And he took his wife and children out of the garden and he gave it all for Allah. And he built another house outside and he gave the garden for Allah. Do you believe it? This is how much business did he, this he said, reacted for Allah's asking us for a loan. Is it? And we always like, if I ask you for a loan, would you be comfortable? No, if I, let's say, somebody asks me a loan, I wouldn't be fine. It's like, okay, I have bills to pay. You know what I'm saying? But I can spare money to give him a loan, but I don't want to. Why should I? So, but when Allah wants you a loan, okay, he doesn't get angry. If you ask Allah for a loan, Allah doesn't get angry at all. Allah says, ask me for more. Keep asking. Keep asking. I'm going to give to you sooner or later. Keep asking. Right, Nushin? Keep asking. Okay. Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that charity does not decrease your wealth. What? Excuse me. That one needs a thing.
Because when you give to charity, you get more back.
Exactly. How? If I have $100, okay, I donate half of them. The remaining is $50. How this $50 be more than the $100? They will come back in some other way. Exactly right. So, the people who... this one. Have another pen? So, $110. $100. You give 20 in a charity. So you get 80. You got it? Okay. But $100 without charity, you have 100. How can I claim that this one, the charity does not decrease the wealth?
Because you have more good deeds than that will help you end
up. Allah will, can I get Yumna, can I get the razor? Yes. This is how it happens. Go ahead and write. This is how it happens. Allah gives you more blessing. Money is blessed. Blessed, $180. Unblessed. So here is the deal. Here is the deal. There are, okay, let's imagine that Allah's not blessing your money. So what happens to you? You wake up in the morning, you try to take a shower, there's no water. Then you wear your clothes and go out, your car is not running. Or car is not running, but you keep hitting every red stop, every red light. And or you get a car ticket, okay? Or you go to the bank, you find, 45 minutes waiting before you can be served. You know what I'm saying? You can have $100 but not blessed. You spend it in traffic accidents. You spend it in diseases and cures. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand the difference? Now, if you pay charity and you have $80, you wake up in the morning, you try to take a shower, there is water. You go take the car is running. Then you hit every green light. Then when you go to the bank, you're first in the row. Okay? See, who decides about this blessing? Allah. You can never invest with Allah and He does not bless you. So the money comes to you either way. Okay. Now, some people say that more children is a burden. More children is a burden. Financial burden. Got it? It's like, how am I going to feed this guy, this baby? How am I going to feed this baby? Right? In the past, they didn't have enough money and food. So when they get children, they say, how am I going to feed that baby? How am I going to feed that child? Guess what? The risk of the guy comes with it. I remember a story, heard it somewhere, that a guy, his wife got pregnant. And because his wife got pregnant, he got $1,000 from somewhere. They just came to him. A gift, a bonus, something like that. So that $1,000 was for him or for the baby? For the baby. Then his wife needed abortion. So when she had the abortion, he used the $1,000 to pay for the abortion. So the baby comes with the $1,000, and when the baby leaves, he leaves with $1,000. You got it? You understand? So, yes, you want to tell me when you have more children? Okay, you have more children, you have more supplies. There is something here we don't know, that Allah gives you money without you knowing, or Allah gives you sayyat without you knowing. There was a slave, let me explain this concept, Nushin and Ruba. Let me explain that concept. Okay. The concept of, what was I saying?
The concept of the baby thing.
Yes, the concept of the baby thing. There was one of the children of Israel, one Israelite guy. He used to disobey Allah left and right. Disobey Allah, left and right. So then he told Allah, "Ya Allah, I keep disobeying you and you're not punishing me. I keep disobeying you, but you're not punishing me." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a message to the Prophet. At that time, you know, children of Israel had always had a prophet. When one prophet dies, Allah raises another prophet. So Allah said, "Go tell this prophet, this guy, how many times I punish you, but you don't feel it. So he said, "I'm punishing you, but you have no idea that I'm punishing you." How? Okay, he gets a nagging wife, or he gets an awful child, son, or awful daughter. Okay, you know, so he gets a bad debt. He go into accident. All of these things are punishments. Remember the story of the bird, whom Allah created to hunt for meat, and he decided to start stealing meat. Do you remember that story? You remember it, Yumna? That this bird decided to steal meat. So he would land on people who have meat and steal the meat and run instead of hunting. So when he did this once, the charcoal got stuck with the meat. Okay? And it was lead. Lead, right? This is the way you say it, lead, charcoal. So when he bring it to his nest and give it to his children, guess what happened? Burned the nest and killed the children. Burned the children. So he went crying to Prophet Sulaiman, and he asked him, "Don't Allah waits on people when they do the bad deeds? He gives them a chance to repent before punishment." So Prophet Sulaiman say, "Yes." So he said, "Look what happened to me. I got the punishment right away. I didn't have time to repent." He said, "What you happened to you, okay, I don't know what happened before. I don't know what happens after. So if you want to ask me, does Allah waits on the punishment? I'll say yes, for sure. But your story, I don't know what's after and what's above, what is before." So Allah revealed to this Prophet Sulaiman and said, "Go tell the bird that this punishment is not for last sin. It is for a previous sin. From a sin that he did far, far back then, and he did not repent. But the sin of the stealing the meat, okay, still yet coming. Unless you repent." Same thing with Allah. Same thing, but in the opposite. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Do you know who is the bankrupt?" Then they said, "We don't know who is the bankrupt." He said, "The bankrupt is a guy who brings goods. He's doing business with Allah, so he brings what? Good amount of good deeds, right? You're right, Aya?
Yeah.
Good amount of good deeds. Big, lot of good deeds. But in the day of judgment, he comes, and then he has cursed this person, did unjust to this person. So he have positive to make a budget with Allah. Any business, you need a budget, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the budget here? The budget is to count pluses and minuses, good deeds and bad deeds, right? Good deeds are deposits, bad deeds are withdrawals, okay? So you keep track of these good deeds and take track of the bad deeds. Why? Because you could be bankrupt. In the day of judgment, you come with a lot of good deeds, but bad deeds that are far more the good deeds. Why? Because you insulted others, because you did injustice to others, because you cheated, because... So they all take away from your hasanat, from your good deeds. When you run out of good deeds, okay, they start dumping on you their bad deeds. So you go to hell. You understand? Why? Because you didn't do the budget right. You didn't do positives. Okay? We did positives, but you ignored, kept doing negatives, negatives, negative, negative. So in the day of judgment, you will be broke. You will come broke in the day of judgment. You will come bankrupt. So, what is the saying of the hadith? You know, if you do a good deed also, Allah has all opportunities. Opportunities are in the hands of Allah. If He likes you, then He gives you good opportunities. If He doesn't like you, then He doesn't give you good opportunities. So, if Allah likes you, then you buy the stocks. You buy a stock at $100 and you sell it at... Sell it at $1,000. This is because Allah loves you. Okay. If you decide... If this money is not blessed because you didn't pay zakah for this money, okay, then you buy a stock on a high price, 500, and then I sell on 100. You understand? Okay. One of the things that alhamdulillah Allah blessed me with is that I bought my house at the bottom of the valley, and when the prices of homes were very cheap. I mean, not very cheap, but it was cheaper than now and cheaper than before. So Allah made it in such a way that I bought my house at the right time. If I bought it before, I would have paid more. If I would buy it next, I mean after, I would have lost money. So I got it at the right point. Tell me, who guided me to do that? Who made it happen?
Allah.
Why? You did something with Allah good, Allah will pay you back. So when you do a bad deed, cry, repent and cry, and cry and say, I'm not going to do it again. Okay? For if you are not, Allah will give you the punishment delivered at your door. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah said, Prophet Muhammad said, I swear by Allah that your provisions are predetermined in heaven. Your provisions are predetermined in heaven. Okay? And Allah also is swearing by His glory that your shares are predetermined in heaven. Okay? Then, if you decide, you have two ways of getting your shares that are decided for you in heaven. The first way is, how can you get your shares that Allah have assigned you in heaven? How many ways you can get them?
Yeah.
How many ways you can get them?
In heaven, your shares in heaven, you can pray, give zakat.
So, you have shares at Allah's, how do you bring... How to increase them, how to get them. There are two ways to get them. The halal way and the haram way. So, you're getting the same exact thing. You're not getting anything different. You're getting the same exact thing. But the halal way, okay, or the haram way. If you get it for the halal way, it's a blessing from Allah. If you get it the haram way, it's a curse from Allah. If you're decided not to accept anything haram, okay, this is not going to decrease your wealth. Okay? This is going to increase your wealth. You will get it in some other way. Do you understand? Okay. There's a story about Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He had a nice camel, really one of those red nice camels. The camels that are red color, they are very precious in the Arabian back is very precious in the land of Arabia.
Do they still exist?
I have no idea, but I think yes.
Oh, is it the story where he left it somewhere and then when he came back, he wasn't there?
Yes.
There was,
yeah.
Oh, and then he stole it.
Yeah, can you tell the story?
Okay. So then basically, this person, he had a nice camel, and then he had to go to prayer or something, so then he gave it to another guy to take care of it. So then what the other guy did was he, instead of like taking care of the camel, he stole it. So then when the owner came back, he noticed his camel wasn't there. And then he was like, oh, why did he do it? Like, since he took care of the camel, the owner was going to give the camel as a gift, but now he got it the wrong way.
Yes. The camel is his. It's written. Okay? But how did he get the camel? The halal way or the haram way?
Haram
way. Do you know that people deprive themselves from money by not giving zakah? The person doesn't give the zakah, he says, huh, I'm smart. I'm saving my money. I am saving my money. This is the one who don't want to give zakah. He's dumb. Because in reality that he's not saving his money. In reality he is losing a lot of money. Losing a lot of money. So what did you lose there? You lose the efficiency. We call it barakah. Barakah or efficiency. Efficiency, blessings. What is efficiency? Efficiency means if your money is 100% efficient, it means you have used it, you have benefited from every dollar that you have. But if your money is not 100% blessed, or is not the efficiency is not 100%, if the efficiency is only 50%, then you spend this $1,000, you spend them, you feel that you've got nothing. Car accidents, you know what I'm saying? Insurance, diseases, all of these things. So, if you want to increase your wealth, what do? Give away zakah or do good deeds. And do good deeds. That is the investment with Allah. He's going to bless your money, even they're going to be few. I don't promise you that after you pay the $20 zakah and you have only $80 left, I'm not promising you that these 80 are not going to be 100. But I'm promising you that the efficiency of using this $100 is going to increase the total worth. The total worth. So if you Allah will push away, if you pay the money, the zakah, Allah will push away harms from you. Harms from you. If you don't do it, Allah will bring harms to you. You understand? So if you're smart, pay zakah. Because you're making more money when you pay zakah. Why? Because your left money is blessed. Why blessed? Because you paid what Allah asks you to pay. So don't say, I'm going to not pay zakah so I can increase my money. Right? That's not true. So doing business with Allah is required so that your health becomes better. It's required so that your wife doesn't nag on you or your husband doesn't become mean with you. You can, if Allah likes you, He can give you a good husband. If Allah doesn't like you because you thought that you can get away without paying zakah, then you get a bad husband. Mistreats you, treats you badly, insults you. Okay? So you want a good husband? Yeah. Yes. You want a good husband, right? Then what do? Good deeds. Good deeds. If you want a good husband, then good deeds and charity. If you want to have more money, then pay more charity. Do you understand? So what is the limit? The limit is 1/3 of your wealth. So Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said that the limit is 1/3. Don't give away all your money. The limit is 1/3. Except for his close companions, they used to give all their wealth, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They used to give all their wealth, Uthman radiallahu anhu. They used to give all their wealth for the sake of Allah, but Allah is not asking you ask for that, because we're not at this level yet. Allah is asking us for abortion, not everything. So, do you want a good to pay back a portion? In other words, what I'm trying to say here, you want a good husband? Stick with the good deeds. Don't you think that you do a bad deed, you're getting away with it? Huh? Nice trial. No, you're not. You're not getting away with it. It will harm you. It will harm you. Maybe you get a bad child. You get a child who's so mean, he insults you badly, he keeps pushing you physically, he's really mean guy. If you don't give him money, he destroys the furniture of the house. Every couple of days he's calling the police on you for child abuse allegations. Trust me, Allah can get you from so many directions. Now, how do I know? Very important. How do I know that the bad thing? Think about this. It's a very important thing. Think about it. Ready? Ready? What did I say? Oh, yes. Think about it. When something bad happens to you, okay, when you get sick, how do you know this is a punishment or blessing? Both righteous people and bad people, both, okay, get sick. How can I tell this sickness is, remember that Allah gives you a test or a disease to clean you up, from all your sins. It's as a blessing to raise your ranks, to remove the sins. Remember when you did the right, the blessings of being sick? It's a blessing. Why? Because it wipes away, okay, sins. Now, if I am getting sick, how do I know that it isn't a punishment or is it a blessing? Huh? How do I know if I get sick? How do I know? Is it a punishment or is it a blessing? Is it used to raise my ranks or lower my ranks?
Usually used to raise your ranks.
How do you know?
If you did a good deed recently and then you got sick,
if it lasts for a long time, it's a punishment.
Doesn't have to be, no.
Because he was sick for a long time.
Huh?
No, nothing. If it's hard for you to recover from the sickness.
No. But nice trials, you guys are getting there, huh? Okay. If you pass the test, how do I know that this test is to make us better or to make us lower? Is it a blessing or is it a punishment? Okay. Depends on if you pass the test, then it's a blessing. If you flunk the test, then it is a punishment. Tell me, if your level is fourth grade and I give you a high school exam, would you pass?
Well, maybe.
No.
All the right answers.
So, yeah. No, you won't pass. So what I'm trying to say here is that Allah could give you